Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for making Saints Central your black and gold home for the New Orleans Saints.
And I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Long as I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning, I'm a who that. Sports coma, yeah, this is where we do that. 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 Boogie like this, and I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Somebody please better help. Running this thing like elf. I thank God every day I'm not a felt. Go to YouTube live with Big Q and the guys. If you ain't ride or die, the bandwagon get flipped. Been marching in, that was way for the ring. I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Bucking on town, duck down. Falcons, pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much, touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy, then you probably smell. The crooked referees are Roger Goodell. Love like this, and I'm a who that. Every day I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning, I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that at. Where we do that at. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that at. Boogie like this, and I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the sports coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
All right, shout out to the fam, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're now rocking with the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys, where we have intense, entertaining, educating, and enlightening sport talk from your favorite sports fam. What's happening, fam? Good to see y'all in the stream. Much love to the fam, man. We up in this thing, Sports Coma, representing the mighty Who Dat Nation. Shout out to the great Saint Thank Tank, man. Listen, let's talk a little football, shall we, man, on this Thursday night, man. Let's talk Saints, man. As we get a couple of weeks off from the draft, man. The draft, boy, show taking a long ass time to get here, man. But listen, nonetheless, it's getting closer and closer. So in this episode, fam, we're gonna talk about that, man. We're gonna cover the black and gold, look at the draft. And as we had a really long time, a lot of stuff been happening. We know the Saints signed that linebacker. This happened several days back, but like I said, just to be honest with you about it, I was looking at it. I'm thinking to myself, looking at the Saints' unofficial depth charts and some of the things and how they're looking at some of these players. And just to ask the question to the Who Dat Nation, do the Saints actually have some of the players, not all of them, but at least a couple of the guys that we're looking at in terms of the offensive line currently on the team? Like, there's a thought process about Ryan Ramczyk. We know there is a possibility that Ram could be ready for the regular season. I'm not betting on it. You know, I actually think we need to prepare for life without Ramczyk. Just to be honest with you, I think the Ryan Ramczyk thing is something that's been happening for some time with us in terms of the injuries. And at some point, you're going to have to kind of have a break from that and move on. Now, that's some of the medicals on him. Dennis Allen talked about that several days back about him progressing a lot slower than he anticipated. And we've been dealing with that for some time. So at some point, the Saints are going to have to look at the future. But are the future, are the players for the offensive line, are they currently on the team? I know we looking at the draft, like some of these issues we're going to cover in terms of or look at, or does the team see that as some of these guys on the draft that's in the draft? Now, are some of these players on the team? Is an elevated thought process on some of these players on the team that they're looking at and saying, we don't need to do that. We'll be good with what we got. We just need to shift and do this. Is that the feeling you guys are getting? Shout out to the fam, man. Appreciate y'all being here. Hit the like button for me, man. OG Jerry, good to see you in the building. Dana, shout out to the Queens in the building as well. Good to see y'all in the building. My dog, Young City Night Ward, Bronze Flat Power God, shout out to you, my brother. What's up, St. John Butler? Shout out to you, my brother. Good to see you in the chat as well. Now, that's my process of thinking. Is there an elevated thought process? Now, there's a lot of elevated thought processes, meaning we're thinking a lot more about a person or player on the team than what they actually are at this current juncture of time. Now, there is a lot of elevated thought processes in the New Orleans Saints building. There's an elevated process of thinking by the president of football operations about the general manager. There's an elevated thought process by the general manager about the head coach. You see where I'm getting at? Does that sprinkle and run downhill to some of the players that we currently have on the team? And I'm asking that question because as offense, we're still going through all these free agency, but we haven't done anything except sign one offensive lineman, Ali Udo. Nobody was setting out after him. And doing research on Ali Udo, he's mostly looked at as a rotational player, mostly at guard that can play some tackle. But do the Saints see him as something more than what we thought they initially was? Just throwing it out there. We're going to go over several news, notes, and items. I would love to hear from you guys in the chat. Y'all let me know what y'all thinking about it. Also, there is a poll in the chat as well, asking you guys which position in the draft should the Saints address first. That's also in the poll. I want to hear from you guys. Brother Tragic, shout out to you, sir. Good to see you in the stream. Y'all hit that poll up and let me know what you guys think about what's going on there, because I would love to know, think about it, because as we draw closer and closer to the draft, there is no, how I guess I could say, there is no, I guess I would say there is no consensus of where the Saints want to go. Now, commonsensically, we'll say offensive line, because you look at it, that's where there's an opening at, right? There's an opening, a potential opening at the left tackle position. The last year's left tackle, Andrus Peete, is not on the team. He's a free agent, going around looking at getting signed by somebody else. So in the end, we're looking at that thing saying there's an opening there, right? There's an opening there. And possibly based on what happened with Ramczyk on his side, there's an opening there. But could the Saints feel that James Hurst is good enough to start for him next game, for coming up into the season? That's what kind of stuff I'm talking about. Elevated processes of thinking with some of these players more so than what it actually is. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes, you know, we don't all think the same, but a lot of people, include myself, we've looked at this team, and I really do would caution the Saints to see about getting you a left guard. Seriously, man. James Hurst, now they kind of reworked his deal, but James Hurst is not the player that he used to be. He's slower. He's not, you know, he's not as consistent. And maybe that was because of what happened last year with the offensive line coach. Perhaps they're thinking John Benton, a new offensive line coach that's coming here, could work miracles with some of these guys that the last offensive line coach couldn't do nothing with. Look what happened with Penning. Could he do something with Penning? Could he help Penning elevate his game? Could he help Hurst kind of resalvage some of the things that he was looking for? To be honest with you, a lot of the Saints' solid offensive linemen look like crap a lot of times. So, I mean, it's we'll see how it all pops and snaps moving forward. But, man, in the end, very interesting. All right. Anyway, let's keep it going, man. Shout out to you, Ro. I see you, Richard. Good to see you in the chat as well. Big ups to you guys. All right. Jerry says, did anybody in the chat get a note? Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that OG Jerry, man, with the notifications, bro. We've been talking about that for a while, man. Sometimes you got to switch them on to switch them back on, man. It's a system that needs some damn help, to be honest with you. But anyway, let's jump into some of this because I'm not going to hold you guys. The Pelicans play at 9, and I want to be in the building to watch them sit down on my damn couch and watch them. Anyway, let's jump into the article, man. ESPN says, and we'll start off this shout out to the wire, says ESPN says Saints could address their offensive line after round one. Now, would that be a surprise that they're saying they could address it after one? Now, before we do that, let me do this. Let me share you guys with this. I'm going to put this on screen, and this is the unofficial depth chart, right? Unofficially speaking, but these are some of the players because, you know, we just add some of the people just to give us something to keep track of here. As you can see, you look at the Saints offensive line. At the offensive line position, you can see Trevor Penning is at the left tackle position. James Hurst is left guard. I'm not very comfortable about none of that. But in the end, you see McCoy at center, right guard is Ruiz, and you see Ramczyk right there at the right tackle position. Now, this could be a part of the process of thinking with the team that Benton could get some of these guys to play a lot better than what they played last year. And that most certainly could happen. We've seen that happen. And I use this example and I use it again. What happened with Isaac Yiddum last year when he played under Joe Woods, who is the defensive coordinator for the Saints, but he operates as the cornerbacks coach. Marcus Robinson, who's the secondary coach, he's the actual safeties coach. So you have Joe Woods teaching up the cornerbacks, and look what his tutelage was able to do with Isaac Yiddum. Big difference you've seen with Isaac Yiddum last year than the year before. He had confidence playing the cornerback position, and you've seen several players take a leap in playing for him. You also seen the maturation of Jordan Howden. Howden step up and play really good in his initial year here, kind of making Marcus May expendable. So we've seen this before when new coaches come in, they're better coaches because not all coaches are created equal, right? So you'll see one new coach come in and do a lot better job. So maybe that's a portion of the thinking of what happens here, which could explain why the Saints didn't attack the offensive line position more ferociously in free agency or the early layers of free agency, right? Knowing, because none of this was a surprise, especially about Ryan Ramczyk's knee issue. That was something that has been bugging him over the last couple of years. It has worsened. He did have the minor procedure done, but it's not healing as fast as it needs to heal. And at some point, you're going to have to say, hey, man, we're going to have to move on because, number one, Dennis Allen is pretty much all he's at the end of his string. This team must get to the playoffs for him to keep his job. And the Saints, the way they're acting in terms of their economics and their behaviors is they're not doing anything really super splashy. A lot of these deals that are being, not all of them, but a lot of them, some of them, a lot of them have been 1 year deals because they're being very mindful of future economics cap wise going forward and the inevitable step in which the Saints will have to make a decision based on the progress, winning progress of the team this year, of what they need to do in the following years. Like, for instance, Dennis Allen doesn't do what he's supposed to do and get the team to the playoffs. Dennis Allen gets fired. The Saints will have to find a new head coach. That's more money. So they will have to pay out for a credible head coach that can turn the team around and put them in the right direction. Now, that also means that some of the staff that the Saints currently have, they might have to hire new people. They might have to bring in other people to fill holes after this year is over. It's a lot of that to kind of forecast and look at. So they're kind of taking a more cautious approach than I've seen in a very long time because they're banking on to see exactly where the Saints land at the end of this year. If it's, you know, and of course, the idea was to progress into the future by having some of our veterans, our productive veterans, to tutor our younger players. And then there's a smooth transition from an older team into a not so older team, and the winning keeps continuing, as opposed to them just doing the flat line and just building up all over again. They're trying to avoid that. They don't want to do that, you know? So anyway, you know, but anyway, as you can see, like I said, if you look at the offensive line, Trevor Penning, Hurst, McCoy, Ruiz, and Ramczyk are the five on the unofficial depth chart. And then as you see right here, just want to make you aware of it. And this is not the only unofficial depth chart. It's the really, I guess it's not too much to really talk about, but the fact that people have Ali Udoh listed at the tackle position behind Trevor Penning. That's something of note just to throw at you guys, because it was interesting for me to see when they sign Ali Udoh, where do they see him as? And they were quick to say that he's a guy that can play the guard and tackle position. But with Penning at left tackle, we did that before, it failed. It also is Ryan Ramczyk's injury situation. That's also something to watch out for. So you got issues at the bookend position.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To find out, where does Udoh fit? Is he the tackle, the left tackle there? The work there? And if Ram doesn't go, does Penning slide to the right tackle position? So we'll see how it all shifts and goes. But let's kind of get into this article. Saints Wire, ESPN says Saints could address their offensive line after round one. Deep draft. It is a very good deep draft in terms of the offensive line. They're not kidding about that. There are a lot of solid offensive linemen. The black and gold need help at both tackle positions surrounding Penning and Ramczyk. And they're kind of far from settled at the left guard position, too. This is true, too, because we pinpoint talk about that. We've talked about that a lot here on the Sports Coma. We made mention and talked about the fact that the Saints really need to focus on the offensive line, because if they want to have an extended amount of success, they're going to have to get the line right. That was a major hiccup for the Saints last year. They couldn't consistently run the ball, especially early on in the year when they had Derek Carr there. And I was saying going into it, and most people understand traditionally when you got a new quarterback in a system that you have to use the running attack. To give, because that was the best aspect of it. You have to run the ball and work the pass off the back of the run. The Saints did that very well toward the back of the season, and then Carr looked good in that version of it, because you allow the running game to carry the team and the offense, the passing attack, to work off the back of it, being that you had more of a steady running back room than in years past, but we had some very good running backs for our team last year, you know. And even though Jamal Williams didn't have that one touchdown at the end of the year, a lot of the timing of the line could have improved. But Doug Marone was here too long. He should have been demoted and fired midseason, because the line was underperforming and it was obvious. They just didn't have the wherewithal and the clairvoyance to make the moves that needed to be happening. Now with John Benton here, the Saints, like I said, we're unsettled at both tackle positions. And it boggles my mind why we weren't, I ain't gonna say we, why they weren't more aggressive in free agency to land a veteran of some sort to steady the line, even if it's for 1 year, just to steady the position and then add around it, as opposed to saying, or have what appears to be a wait and see approach in terms of that. I wanted to see a veteran there. Now, they gave us Ali Udoh, but like I said, I don't know where he goes. Where does Ali Udoh go in your opinion? Y'all put it in the chat. Let me know. But a lot of unresolved stuff with the Saints line. James Hurst is not what he used to be. Nick Saldivari is a interesting guard, but he's a question mark. He was banged up last year. Couldn't see much of him at all. Landon Young is up and down. So the Saints have some answers, more answers than, I mean, actually more questions rather, more questions than answers from the offensive line. Very big problems here that we have to correct. So John Benton, boy, we count a lot on Benton to kind of pull this stuff together. So we shall see. Anyway, getting back to it, feels like certain the Saints will pick an offensive tackle in the first round of the draft. ESPN says New Orleans could continue to address their most important need later on. This is coming from ESPN's Jordan Reed. He says what we're hearing about the Saints draft, it has been really quiet there, really quiet. An NFC area scout said the Saints, but New Orleans should address offensive tackle early. And Alu Fushanu and Toulouse Fuaga are two names that have constantly been linked to the Saints. Also heard Patrick Paul from Houston is good and several others. So he says we've already discussed Fushanu out of Penn State and Fuaga out of Oregon State at great length. But those are some interesting names to keep in mind for round two and three. So let's dive into each prospect. Now, Olu Fushanu, man, I don't think he's going to be there. I'm gonna just be honest with you, because Olu is considered one of the top three best offensive linemen in the draft. And it depends on what the teams, the Saints pick 14. So we're going to get one of these teams. You're going to see a J.C. Latham. You're going to definitely see a Toulouse Fuaga might be there. Tyler Guyton, he'll be there. And then, of course, Patrick Paul is a guy that a lot of people believe is more of a second round graded tackle. He's actually pretty decent, but he's not as better as some of these other tackles that I'm talking about. Like when you talk about guys like Joe Alt, you won't see Joe Alt. He'll be gone from Notre Dame. He'll be gone. Well, Fashanu's another guy. A lot of people be a top 10 guy, they believe. But if he falls there, that could be interesting. But it's also, I got the feeling that I think even if you had a offensive player that fell to the Saints at 14, like a Brock Bowers out of Georgia, the tight end, if he's there, they're going to take him. There's no doubt about that, in my mind anyway, because you're trying to compile some help offensively and give your offense some more playmakers to help the quarterback out. And if he falls there, I can't be mad at the Saints if they did draft Bowers, because Bowers could be something really special for your offense. Definitely a dude that brings all kind of different dynamics there to your offense. And it just, he'll be a really excellent player for you. So I can't be mad at him for that. You see what I'm saying? But anyway, Fashanu out of Penn State and Fuaga out of Oregon State, those are some of the guys. But Pat Paul out of left tackle from Houston's another guy they talked about, played 5 years at Houston, started the last three seasons at left tackle against some quality competition, has plenty of people in the scouting circles. His pre-draft process is going very well. Strong performances at the Senior Bowl practice, high-end testing numbers at the scouting combine. Widely considered to be a second round pick, and a lot of people believe that because there's certain aspects of his game that is lacking. You know, he's not as fast as you would like. I think he said as athletic as some of the other guys that we talked about. And like, even though he played the left tackle position, there are things a part of Paul's game that can be cleaned up. And I guess you could say that about a lot of people. But he doesn't grade as high as these other guys that I'm telling you guys about, like a Tyler Guyton and some of these other guys are actually some of the grades that they give to him. Now, Kyron out of Yale is another interesting prospect that, you know, I watched some film on him, too. Started at left guard, moving to the left tackle position. He's characterized as a prospect with smart size and movement. You know, he's coming from Yale, so we know he got the smarts. The Yale graduate weighed in at 6'5", 320 pounds, 36-inch arms, went through position drills at pro day. He didn't complete his athletic testing with timing while recovering from the quad muscle surgery of last October. So he's a top 100 lock who could be picked late in the second round by a team that's just waiting for a guy to rehab and get back right. Is that the Saints? We would say no, because we got enough problems. We need guys to be healthy right now to kind of come in and hit the ground running, so to speak. Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, the other guy not named Joe Alt, right? Fisher has anchored the Notre Dame offensive line across from Joe Manning, the right tackle spot. He's been more vulnerable in the pass protection. 8 sacks allowed, 7 penalties over the last couple of years, but on the whole, he's graded out well in pass protection. And as a run block, he's currently projected as a second or third round pick. Yeah, I was looking at him. I was looking at film on him as well. Most people agree that he's more of a third than anything else. Another name to know is Jalen Sundell from North Dakota State. Kind of cheating by looking outside of the score of ESPN reporting, but in the spirits of prospects, worth considering after round one. You're talking about Sundell, who was linked to the Saints by PFF as a prospect who can make sense on the third day and final day of the draft, having put up an impressive athletic score. He's kind of a player that area scouts and position coach stand on the table for when teams are making their picks in the 6th or 7th round and blah, blah, blah. Also, another pick here, they're looking at, and I'm familiar with him. I was watching tape on this guy right here, Kingsley, from a BYU. Kind of big guy, but kind of stiff, plays a little too high at times. Guys can dip and get up under him. A lot of people, I was watching some footage, not really blown away by him. He's a later round in the draft type of player too, but has good size and has a kind of bit of a mean streak, knows how to kind of lean a little bit, use his arms, but at times plays a little too tall. And, you know, you can get beat that way pretty easily. So that's some of the process of what ESPN believes that the Saints could do, like take a skilled player or the best available player on the board and then dip back in the second round and see about getting yourself a guy like Patrick Paul or one of these guys that might be there available for you when the second round roll around. But also there should be the thought process that the Saints are going to move around in the draft. You know, that should be the thought process as well, that the Saints should move around. So you're looking at the Saints 2024 draft picks. Of course, we know about number 4 overall pick, the 14 overall, the second round pick, 45 from the Broncos, and then no 3rd, no 4th. And the Saints have 4 fives, 150, 168, 170, 175, 2 sixes, 190 and 199, and 1/7, 239 from the Rams. So you're looking at work being done, right? We're looking at work being done with the picks, and then the second, and then boom, 2 really good rounds of picks, the third and the 4th round, where we can find some people that can really help out. Don't think for a second the Saints is not going to put a couple of picks together to try to move up into the 4th round. You know, they're going to definitely try to jump into, I don't know if they go into the 3rd round without having to surrender capital for next year, which I don't think they want to do, but at least try to package some of those selections that we have and try to at least get up into the 4th round to try to get some picks out of there, you know, try to land some more players inside the top 100 and at least 140 players or something like that. Maybe we can climb a bit, but at least try to get a 4th round pick. Because I don't think the Saints need to draft all these guys. Now, you know, they're not going to need to draft, use all of these picks. So I expect the Saints to have at least a couple of trades to try to move back in the 4th and perhaps toward the back end of the draft to kind of move ahead to try to get another player to kind of help them out. Because in this juncture of time, in the 3rd year under Dennis Allen, the Saints really need to, we need to see something offensively speaking. And we'll see how it all ferrets out. But, man, in the end, this is what the Saints need to do. They kind of need to get a little active in the draft, because they damn sure hadn't been in free agency. All right, going on to the next one. This is from NOLA.com. Interior offensive line isn't a dire draft need for the Saints, but they could always add some depth. And he says interior line. Well, let's delve into it. All things currently stand, the Saints look to be in solid shape along the offensive interior. Pro Bowl center Eric McCoy and right guard Cesar Ruiz are both in the middle of long-term extensions. Last year, starting left guard James Hurst is back for a final year of his deal. The Saints also signed a veteran with starting experience in Ali Udoh and bring in a 2023 4th rounder, Nick Saldiveri. It's also not a foregone conclusion that Trevor Penning will stay at tackle, and the Saints could use the lead up to the season to see if he's better suited to playing guard. You know, I'll address that in a second. But as this offseason showed us, the NFL is starting to place more of a premium on the interior of the offensive line. Carolina signed former Raging Cajun standout Robert Hunt to a 5-year, $100 million contract. The Rams signed free agent guard Jonah Jackson to a deal that would pay him $17 million annually. And as the last several Saints seasons have proven, teams can never have too much quality depth along the offensive line. Players get hurt and squeaky. Will along the front five can be devastating for an NFL offense. Saints are currently armed with seven day three picks. It would not be a surprise to see them use some of that draft capital to add some depth to the offensive interior. So the need is low as far as that's concerned. And we talked about the players on the roster and all this kind of stuff, and then drafted under college scouting director Jeff Ireland round overall pick in year. So offensive interior, offensive lineman draft picks over the last several years: Will Clapp, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, and Nick Saldivari. Average interior offensive lineman drafted under Nick Saldivari is a 6'4", 307-pound guy. Now, the potential fits, a guy like Christian Haynes, 6'3", 317, would be a really solid pickup, to be honest with you. Wouldn't be mad at all if the Saints' first two pick were offensive linemen. I wouldn't be mad at you at all for that. I'm not going to even kid you on that, because it'll be more of a future thing as we look to kind of situate and build the offensive line. Because one thing, you know, you're going to need some the Saints need an attitude adjustment on the offensive line. They don't play with enough meanness. You know, you see what I'm saying? And like we're saying, run your run block, and it takes attitude. It takes a certain spear of nastiness that you have to play with when you dominate and opposing defenses. At times, the Saints didn't play with any kind of focus intensity in terms of being nasty with the offensive line. That temperament wasn't there. That's the one thing that you could say Trevor Penning brought the Saints, if anything, was a nasty disposition